Hello and welcome to the Leaders in Tech and E-commerce podcast. I am your host, Andrei Palamariu, and I am the APEC Director for Elkett Global Executive Search. Our mission is to connect the tech in supply chain and e-commerce ecosystem in Asia and globally by bringing forward some of the most interesting stories about success and failure from leaders in the industry.
It is my pleasure to talk today with Alok Banot, the CTO of Cloudleaf. Alok is a seasoned technology and business leader with a career leading large and startup teams across a spectrum of companies like eBay, PayPal, Verifone, Visa, and startups like Inkiru and Cooper. He has built highly scalable platform systems and services for e-commerce, risk modeling, payment transactions, real-time predictive analytics, and IoT-based operation systems. We'll cover a large spectrum of topics today, and also we'll talk about Cloudleaf's flagship product, the Supply Chain Digital Visibility Platform, that delivers complete real-time views and insights across ecosystem from suppliers to production and distribution to customers. Please enjoy our conversation. Hi, Alok. It's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Nice to be here, Andre.
Yes, and as with everything in the beginning, let's just set a scene and then start with a short introduction, because just by looking at your LinkedIn profile and seeing a lot of keywords there, right, from executive, investor, and many more things connected to those words, I wanted maybe to go through your career path so far and maybe just mention the main milestones and how they led up to what you're doing now with Cloudleaf.
Sounds good. So I would say I grew up professionally in Silicon Valley, primarily around e-commerce and payments type businesses. So was at places like eBay and PayPal and Visa in the days of hypergrowth phases for these companies. So a lot of exciting opportunities to develop personally as well as professionally, and also learn a lot about commerce in general. And so very, very sort of keen sort of intuitive insights around how commerce works. All sort of global platforms, so very comfortable and familiar with interacting with people around the world as colleagues, as partners, as customers, and kind of carried those characteristics through the rest of my career. So back when I was at PayPal, I was fortunate enough to get involved with regards to the fraud platform at PayPal. So that was more around data science and data analytics. So that was an interesting skill set I picked up, and coming out of that, I did my first startup in a similar space, delivering solutions for large banks and retailers, and ended up selling that business to Walmart. So that's kind of my entrepreneurial side of the experience. And following that, then I switched back into a mode where I came back to a large company, a large business, and was CTO at Verifone for a few years, and had the sort of experience of working with another global platform, but this time also got exposed to hardware and hardware side of things. So the edge solutions and the challenges related to hardware in the context of retail was a new kind of experience, opened my eyes to a lot of problems and challenges relating to managing devices at the edge. And coming out of that experience, did another startup also in the sort of IoT kind of space. And then that led me to where I am. I'm kind of now at Cloudleaf, working on a slightly different target from a solutions perspective, more focused on supply chain. But underneath the covers, the technology stack is very similar to the kind of things that I've done in a few different places in my career, whether it be hardware-related stuff or analytics-related solutions, or in general sort of commerce and commerce platforms.
That's quite fascinating, Alok. And I wanted to ask, right, because you've been in so many different companies, started a lot, work with big companies as well. I'm just wondering what attracted you to supply chain. And just before we started, we talked a bit about it, but I'm sure there's more to your, I wouldn't say fascination yet, maybe it is fascination, but to your attraction to supply chain.
Yeah, I'd say it's probably a combination of supply chain and the opportunity to build the kind of solutions we are building at Cloudleaf. When you get into a transformation-like opportunity, it's usually opens a lot of doors to many different areas and interesting solutions. I would say supply chain, if you look at the broader commerce space, is one of the last sort of segments, verticals, categories, if that's the right term to use, left, which is still somewhat steeped in legacy solutions, legacy systems, and ripe for an opportunity to transform itself and modernize itself in various different dimensions, whether it be cloud-based solutions, whether it be data analytics, predictive capabilities, various kinds of optimizations. So that was one sort of interesting avenue that I saw in this opportunity. But then, like we were just talking, all of the spotlight that has now been cast on supply chain is leading to a fairly strong interest on the part of various organizations around the world to invest in this area. And that leads to opportunities. And that's what startups are all about.
I think that that's one of your powers as well, to identify the white spaces, or at least the spaces, like you said, where a lot of legacy systems are still in place, and then the growth might be exponential through technology, right?
Yeah.
I see a pattern there, so I'm just, and connecting the dots. Now, if you would look at what's happening in the tech space connected to supply chain and logistics and transportation, what are some trends that you see? It can be North American, it can be global. I think you touched a bit on a few keywords there, but maybe you can expand.
Sure. No, I think if you look at it from a point of view of broader trends, like I think a lot of investors tend to think of it as big waves or what's the wind in your sail, it's more around digitization of the supply chain. The way that particular term manifests itself in this space is, I'd say, broadly two categories. One is pulling in a lot of new sources of information, and that's primarily around sensors. So you have a lot of data that is siloed and like you said, locked up in legacy systems today in enterprises. But one of the opportunities that increasingly reducing costs of sensors and better connectivity is throwing up is the opportunity to put sensors directly on sort of products and packages while they're in motion or are sitting in warehouses, and be able to extract sort of new data items, data sets out of them in real time. So that data is net new and is a trend that helps drive a lot of the digitization. And then that coupled with data that is locked up in legacy systems then leads to the opportunity to create new kinds of insights. So the second part of the opportunity set around digitization is around analytics. And whether that be sort of backwards looking, sort of prescriptive type analytic information, or whether it be forward looking and predictive type analytics information, whether it makes its way to dashboards for increased visibility and recommendations, or whether it makes its way into workflow automation and leads to efficiencies in a different way. I think that's kind of the spectrum of things that are going on that relate to the broader concept of digitization of supply chain.
I agree. And it's interesting to have so many new companies, startups, and experts and professionals that don't necessarily have an operations or supply chain operations background, but they have the principles of how to improve that leveraging technology. Like you said, looking forward or looking backward and pulling those data sets in dashboards and so on and making better decision. After all, that's the end result, right? Making the better decision for your business. Mm-hmm. Now, because I wanted to ask this question, right? Always addressed in a pitching situation, right? What are the biggest problems Cloudleaf is trying to solve?
Yeah, so I'd say in terms of the problems, the highest level statement is helping companies transform their supply chains and create this through our digital visibility platform that we offer to them. More specifically, if I was to kind of narrow in into a couple of verticals, we have a deep investment in the pharma space. So in pharmaceuticals, I guess the challenge of the day is transportation of vaccines. So everything sort of related with vaccine distribution, being able to sort of track temperatures as vaccines travel through the supply chain. And the second thing is in sort of high value manufacturing, being able to sort of track goods that are disrupted because of disruptions in supply chain relating to various different factors, from Suez Canal to COVID. I think those are the two kind of broad areas that, that jump out in terms of specific solutions that we've gone deep in. But the broader theme over here is really helping organizations transform their supply chain through solution, which is called the Digital Visibility Platform.
And the Digital Visibility Platform is, after all, I would say it's a software solution, right? Do you do both? Do you develop both the hardware and the software, or at the moment you're focusing on the software side?
So at the moment, we are definitely focused on the software side. The company has some legacy of having started off with building its own sensors and gateways. But I'd say in the last 3 years or so, we have integrated a broad portfolio of third-party sensors and other edge devices. And we are now fairly sensor agnostic and have solutions that span different kinds of sensors.
Got it. There are a lot of players out there that are trying to attack similar issues, right? And they are more or less or different degrees of successful in North America, in Europe, in Asia, and so on. I was wondering, what do you think makes Cloudleaf different from the other players? What angle makes it a bit, out of the ordinary?
Yeah, so I think, I mean, one obvious one is what I just mentioned around sensor agnostic solutions. Several other players that are out there have a vertically integrated solution with their own sensors and their own cloud-based solution that backs it up. But I'd say that the bigger differentiation is really how our platform is designed. One of the challenges that you see with supply chain is because everyone's supply chain is so different. It's an interesting high-level term to throw out if you're dealing with warehouses and transportation systems and packages and shipments, et cetera. So it's loosely using the same nomenclature and terminology. But if you went and spoke to someone that heads up a supply chain in a pharmaceutical company and somebody else that's in a logistics service provider or a manufacturing firm, their definition, their meaning of supply chain is very, very different in terms of their components and whether they're looking at it from a warehousing distribution perspective or whether they're looking at it from a retailer's perspective or whether they're a manufacturer that is pushing things or a logistics service provider in the middle that is handling the solution. So because these kinds of businesses or the target market is so diverse, what that has led to is that traditionally, supply chain solutions become very, very narrow and very, very focused on specific aspects of the supply chain. So you'll have a warehousing management system, or you'll have a transportation management system, or a specific kind of transportation management system, et cetera. Yes. So what that then leads to for a large organization that does a lot of different things is their internal solutions become very, very siloed. And they're primarily enterprise solutions for themselves, and they have many of those implemented for their supply chain. That has a whole other host of sort of, it solves some problems, of course, for them, but then it creates other problems around data silos. The other characteristic of supply chain, interestingly, that a lot of these point solutions don't help resolve is the fact that supply chain by definition is cross-enterprise. So you are by definition either dealing with a network of vendors or a network of suppliers, or as a logistics service provider on either side, you have people that are shipping stuff or people that are receiving stuff, right? So that particular network isn't necessarily, the requirements of the network aren't necessarily satisfied in most enterprise-focused solutions. One of the things coming to your specific question that differentiates Cloudleaf from competitors is that we do a really good job in how we define that solution for the entire sort of ecosystem or network for an entity. So it's not just a solution for an enterprise, but more often than not, our customers leveraging our platform to provide access to their network of suppliers or other kinds of service providers and giving them windows into the information that resides in our platform. So that is what makes us very, very unique and differentiates us from everybody else. And this helps solve the two things that I mentioned that traditional systems don't solve. One is breaks down silos across multiple systems by pulling all data into a single unified platform. And second is provides access to entities or organizations outside of your enterprise and being able to work with your data and information.
Mm.
Let's take an example if you can. We don't need to name names. If you can name names, it's also good. I'm wondering, is there a case study that comes to mind where a client has seen excellent results after implementing your solution? And maybe you can expand on that as well.
Yeah, so there's a couple of case studies that are probably published on our website. One is specific to CSafe, which provides temperature controlled container solutions. They've partnered with us in terms of helping them track and support their air cargo tracks and solutions, as well as tracking for parcel and cell and gene type packaging solutions. So we would kind of put them in the LSP kind of category for ourselves. Similarly, Cold Chain Technologies is another study that's available and similar kind of a space, but probably more focused on sort of drugs and biologics, including vaccines in CCT sort of thermal shipping containers down to the last mile, and also use our platform to get real-time holistic and actionable insights into the location and condition of their drugs and biologics. So these are two examples that come in, and they, I'd say, symbolize or epitomize the statement that I made around a solution for the network, because each leverages our platform not only for their own in-house use in terms of breaking down the barriers between, let's say, the transportation management systems and the warehouse management systems, but also provides windows into their customers. Windows for their customers into the data that they have. So the shipping and the logistics data is available to their large customers, but then there are other slices of the data that go across some of the categories or buckets of data that they've set up on our platform, which are of interest to manufacturers. So our platform's unique ability to allow a CSafe or a CCT to slice this data as appropriate using roles-based rules is a unique differentiator and a unique selling point for our platform.
And Alok, when you look at the clients and how they use the service and the platform, right? Do you see them improving cost saving? Do you see them improving their bottom line, their profits, their time spent on specific operations? What are some of the elements that you see the positive results?
So I'd say when you embark on as ambitious a project as digitizing a supply chain, you hit many different value exactly. propositions in the process. The obvious one, of course, is cost savings. So by improving and bringing about an improvement in any kind of efficiency, whether it be by adding more workflows for your sort of field staff in your warehouse, or by providing more visibility into how your goods are moving through the supply chain, you can gain efficiencies in processes that you might have that may otherwise be more sort of labor intensive and take more time. But I would say an equally strong value proposition for the customers, and the examples that I gave is around improving the customer experience for their customers. And they do that by providing them more timely visibility and access to the data, and in some cases also better insights into the information that they get from the platform.
Mm. And I saw something on the website, and I think it's connected to what you said, that your platform is sensor agnostic. But to somebody who doesn't understand technology too much, like even myself or probably some of the listeners, I wouldn't want to say most, but you said somewhere on the website, digital visibility platform supports more than 400 APIs, right? What does this actually mean for a potential client or for anybody who wants to understand?
Sure. So APIs are non-user interactive type interfaces. It stands for application programming interface. So it is the way other programs talk to our platform, not necessarily individuals interacting through mobile applications or websites. So what that allows us to do is allows us to get integrated more deeply into existing systems there in the enterprise. 400 is a fairly large number. I would, if I was to sort of rephrase and rework that section of the website, I'd be a little more descriptive and mm-hmm. in breaking down what the categories of APIs are, because 400 just seems like a very large number. But the kind of categories of APIs in there are the ones that third-party devices use to integrate into our platform. So that allows us to then support many different kinds of devices. It also includes APIs that allow different kinds of user experiences to be built on top of our platform. So that allows us to do some level of customization for certain kinds of workflows and experiences for customers that may be very unique to them. And then the third thing is it allows us to integrate with other legacy platforms, whether it be warehouse management systems, transportation management systems, and or other ERP type systems. So that in cases where customers are looking for bringing new kinds of insights into their existing workflows, which may be defined in legacy systems, we are able to do that as well through our APIs.
Got it. And now looking ahead, right? Because it is a recent adventure that you embarked on. I'm sure you have your own mandate, your own priorities. But if you look ahead for the company, what's next? What are the big milestones or the next exciting milestones that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, so one of the areas of investment for us, and we should be coming up with a lot of interesting announcements and product related demos shortly, is what I'd refer to as a digital twin. So one of the areas of investment for us in the past months and quarters has been building out deeper capabilities in catalog. So if you think of a catalog as a list of various elements that make up a supply chain, whether it be routes and shipments or containers, packages, and different kinds of sort of carriers and et cetera, you put all this stuff together, that's how you would sort of digitally represent your supply chain. So you would say, okay, these are my 15 warehouses. These are the various carriers that I use. These are the containers that move through these carriers to these warehouses. And then the packages are extracted and move through these transportation systems into these distribution centers, et cetera. So that's how you could potentially model your supply chain. And the way our platform works is you basically create this digital representation of your supply chain, and then you start plugging the blind spots that you have into the supply chain through various kinds of data sources. And the data sources could be edge devices or sensors that we can pull directly into our platform, or it could be data that you're already collecting in your legacy enterprise systems. So those are the two sources that then end up populating your digital twin or the digital representation of your supply chain. One of the interesting things that's coming up in the next few months is our ability to then be able to extend this catalog in a very flexible way to take it down to the product level. So basically, to be able to say that I can now start to track and report on information and data, not just at the route, container, and package level, but I can get inside the package down to the product level and start tracking information about the product as it flows through the supply chain. And that allows us to go after a lot broader spectrum of sort of use cases and solutions for our customers. Many different ways in which you can sort of tag information at that level. One is sort of cost of sensors is starting to go down. So yeah, higher value products can attach sensors on the product itself. But then we will also be sort of integrating other sources or pulling in other sources of information from the edge through QR codes into a mobile application or RFIDs or other sort of spectrum of points from where data can originate. So that's exciting for us, the ability to let our customers extend this catalog with their own products and put their own product information onto our platform such that we can then start to pull data and attach it at the product level is going to be a game changer for us.
Well, it sounds like a game changer for sure. I mean, I didn't hear about somebody who does this global level well, so I'm sure there's a lot of potential. I wanted to ask you, because maybe you're one of the best persons to ask, right? There's a lot of hype and a lot of people see artificial intelligence and machine learning, the concepts at least, as buzzwords. There's been a lot of talk about them. What are some healthy expectations, especially connected to supply chain, that we should have regarding artificial intelligence and ML. And when I say healthy expectations, a lot of people think that, yeah, let's implement this solution. It's based on artificial intelligence. It's a silver bullet. It will magically solve our issues because higher dimension digital brain will come into play and they will find the solutions. I expect that not to be a healthy expectation. So how would you say we should think about it?
Yeah, no, it is interesting. And it's interesting that you point out that I'm an interesting person to ask that question just because of my background and some of the things that I've done prior to coming to Cloudleaf. So I do share your healthy skepticism of wanting to be more grounded in the solutions that we offer rather than sort of pie in the sky kind of stories. But I would say that, interestingly, in our conversations with prospects and customers in this general space, there is a fair amount of pragmatism. So unlike some of the other areas that I have worked with in terms of predictive capabilities and solutions, the area of supply chain, people are fairly realistic in their expectations around what they think they can do with data analytics, predictive capabilities, and AI versus other places that I have built solutions for. The good thing about my background is I was kind of doing this before it was cool and everybody was
talking about it.
And we were doing it to solve real world problems. We actually had real business goals and objectives that were tied to the models that we were building. And if you didn't do our job right, it was an impact to the business. So that's the reality that I come from. So in terms of how I think about predictive solutions in the supply chain space, I do like to adopt the sort of crawl, walk, run kind of an approach over here. I would say as a broader category and industry, we are still in the crawl space with regards to effective predictive capabilities in this world. The use cases are a little fuzzier around the edges, and the value that you get from these solutions is we are just about starting to scratch the surface of what we can do. But I do remain, I am very optimistic about the potential of what can be done with these solutions and where we can go. My experience tells me that the key to successful solutions is not necessarily the flashy stuff around what kind of models you're using, what kind of algorithms and what kind of capabilities, but it starts with being able to collect data effectively, in a timely fashion, reliably, and organize it in a way that it is actually palatable and usable in higher level sort of constructs like models and AI capabilities. So we have a strong investment in making sure that the first part is that box is checked and taken care of, because a lot of the data that we pull from our own sensors directly into our platform, and have the ability to make sure that the data is appropriately organized. Like I just said, we contextualize all of this stuff in the context of a digital supply chain, or digital twin of the supply chain. And that helps us organize and map this data appropriately. The predictive models kind of fall out of that fairly easily. If you do the first two parts right, a lot of the data that we collect is sort of time series based. So there are some very simple sort of time series based anomaly detection capabilities that you can put into place, which is what I recommend our customers as one of the first things they do, because that allows them to start to see some immediate value without having to make a big investment in sort of training new kinds of esoteric models, et cetera. But then from there, we've seen some very sort of interesting point solutions that are in some cases specific to cold chain logistics, which are around, hey, can you start to predict what the sort of thermal charge of a box is as it's going through the supply chain? Or it can be sort of high value item type use cases around being able to track their chain of custody, et cetera, and be able to flag things that are likely to be fraudulent, et cetera. So those kinds of use cases then start to fall out of this once you have your digital twin defined accurately and you've plugged all of the data holes or dark spots in terms of being able to collect information in a timely fashion.
No, I mean, it does make a lot of sense. And as you said, it's a huge space for coming up with new solutions. Like you said, the digital twin for supply chain is a big topic nowadays, and I'm sure that's a lot of value to get out of it. Now, Alok, I wanted to change the registry just a bit and ask you more about the leadership part of things. And I know that one of your priorities will be to grow the team and to hire new people. I was wondering when you usually hire, because you've been in this hiring position for, or hiring manager position for a long time, what do you usually look for? What are the traits that you want to see in somebody who will join your team and maybe your direct team that you would work with?
Yeah, so I would say that I was fortunate enough to have grown up in Silicon Valley around sort of cultures like eBay and PayPal, which had the intensity of fast-paced, high-growth companies, but at the same time put in a very strong emphasis on company culture and collaborative type environments, et cetera, and creating healthy environments for people to grow and flourish. So drawing from those experiences, I am fairly passionate about sort of creating opportunities for people that are in my organization and in terms of their personal growth and professional growth. So basically aligning that sort of motivation that people have in them with where the corporate priorities and business priorities lie is what leads to a very healthy dynamic that you can create around people feeling very productive, feeling heard. And I kind of carry that over into the hiring process and look for sort of candidates and people that are like-minded. So when it comes to hiring individual contributors, obviously people that are excited about learning and growing and developing with the company and a business, especially one that's growing. And when it comes to hiring managers, it is people that are willing to sort of lead others, are good role models for people to emulate and create and foster a very sort of collaborative environment. So collaboration kind of rises to the top in terms of skills that I look for in terms of whether it be individual contributors or managers coming on the team. And once you have people that enjoy working with other people in an organization, then it kind of helps create the right dynamic, which then attracts more like-minded people and the right kind of talent into the organization. I must say that in this post-COVID kind of a world, it's a little challenging because you're not able to see a lot of people or meet them face to face. But we try and use technology as best as we can to make up for that. But because we are also, for a young company, fairly spread out around the globe, we got a presence in Europe and Asia and the US. I think we've kind of learned to work virtually anyway, but now we are learning to work virtually even though we are in the same city.
Yeah, that's an ironic situation, but it is what it is. I wanted to ask, because you know better than anyone, what are some of the trends that you see when hiring for a technical skill set, right? Because we hear a lot of focus, like you said, on AI and data science. Are there certain technical skills that are more precious or more valuable than others? Do you see this?
So, I mean, if you're alluding to, is it easy or hard to hire? my answer is, regardless of whether you're hiring a data scientist or an engineer or a DevOps guy or a QA person, it should always be hard, because you want to make your process be tight enough and set your bar high enough that it should be just as hard for you to find good people, regardless of the category that you're looking for them. So I think that's kind of the philosophy that we conduct our hiring with. And I wouldn't say that I see more resumes in one category versus the other. It's equally hard in all categories. And we look for the best talent that we can get.
Mm. That's fair. And as the last question of today's session, Alok, I wanted to ask you about giving a piece of advice for a successful career, right? Because you've seen all facets of a career path, from startups, from founding startups, investing, advising, working with big companies. What would you say that helped you the most as a principal or a guiding principle in building a successful career?
So I think a lot of people like to kind of chase sort of keywords and waves, whether it's blockchain today or Bitcoin tomorrow or something else. And I've seen my fair share of waves as I've progressed through my career. I would advise youngsters to think more long term and be more strategic in how they think about their career. So I think a good and successful career is one that allows you to be the best version of yourself or be able to contribute as best as you can to your industry or your trade as you have chosen to define it, and not be tactical in and opportunistic in your progression. So having kind of seen a lot and done a lot, I feel that that is one advice that I could have embraced more fully when I was younger. But but hindsight's always 20/20. But that's something that I feel that having the patience to invest in the right place at the right time and be focused on the long-term goals and objectives is something that I would encourage others to pursue and follow.
And on that note, thank you very much for all the sharing, Alok. I'm sure we'll hear more in the news about Cloudleaf, about the success. I mean, it's already there, but it's going to be even bigger and bigger. And I'm sure that on the technical side, the team would have a very good mentor and leader in yourself. So good luck with everything.
Thank you, Andre. It was wonderful talking to you, and I appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For all the show notes and information discussed in the episode, please follow elcatglobal.com/podcast. Also, if you found this interesting, please subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, or one of the podcast platforms. We are looking forward to your feedback.